Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fam?
Yo, your fam is back! It was a double dose of Monday Night Football, a Tuesday game. What a week 13 it was. It's in the books. I am Keith Irizarry. Alex Hardy, John Salas. What's up, fellas?
A day late, but hopefully not a dollar short, as I hope you are all well represented in your fantasy playoffs. I know some of us are, like my man. What's going on, John Salas?
I don't like it.
Alex, you said $1 short, but Keith came up $2 short. And, you know, it just feels great. Look at us, guys. We are adapting just like the NFL. We are on a new day right now. And, man, round of applause for the fam.
All right. So, yeah. All right. Let's just peel the curtain back for a second. Yes, everyone knows we're all in the same league. Alex is the number two seed now after beating me.
That's right.
0.79. I needed 2.8 points to win. I would have then been the five seed. Lamar Jackson didn't hit Boykin in the end zone for a touchdown. And my season in our joined league is over. So good luck to both of you.
You forgot to bring up like the most important part. Not only could you've had the five seed, you would have knocked me out of the playoffs.
Yes.
So as someone watching Lamar Jackson throw that wide open pass to Boykin in the end zone, I'm holding my breath, getting ready to text you guys. And then it just falls short. And I just ran around laps in the house. And here we are.
It's probably the first time that John's ran since the pandemic started.
That was actually the second time I ran that day. Probably my that was more like my cool down. So,
guys, I mean, it was a wild finish for us. Before we move to actually covering what Lamar Jackson did on Tuesday and some of the Monday games, I just wanted to congratulate all of us for getting through the regular season. Week 14, here we are. I don't know, John, Keith, one thing to kind of remember this 2020 regular season by before we move on.
So the one thing I'm going to remember is just honestly waking up almost every day and just saying this team has people testing positive for COVID. And then as fantasy guys, you don't know who it is. And then the day before they can just pop up. And for someone like me, I know we don't like talking about ourselves, but I'll do it real quick. In my other league, I had three players test positive in a must-win game to make the playoffs, and they were all out. So that's just one thing. In the whole chaos, I love chaos. So that's one thing I'm going to remember.
I'd like to shout out all the league commissioners, and Alex, you're on that list, for having to deal with what this season was. Random, sometimes odd questions from people in your leagues, demands from people in your leagues, people not wanting to roll with the punches and understand that it's a like one human being that's not getting paid to run these leagues and are still handling everything. So I would give a round of applause to all the league commissioners out there.
I'll say, Keith, I'll take the credit where credit is due. I'll be honest, I never even planned on a contingency plan if the regular season was cut short.
Wow.
We just skated by and everything worked out. I'll be candid. There was one good thing that came out of COVID. If the NFL decides that the IR window is going to be 3 weeks instead of 8 weeks, I thought that worked out great as far as a fantasy football manager this year. But I digress because I may have some concerns. Going back to Monday Night Football, Keith, what's the latest with Antonio Gibson against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night?
So Antonio Gibson looks like turf toe, looks like he's trending towards not playing. That means Peyton Barber gets a heavy dose of the early down usage. I don't know how excited you are about him. It's going to be J.D. McKissic, who's going to be the PPR monster for this team. You know, double-digit catches this past week on Monday Night Football. So he's probably the guy that steps in, at least from a fantasy standpoint.
And John, with Antonio Gibson maybe going out, on the other hand, James Conner activated off the COVID list. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reporting that he will return against Buffalo. Mike Tomlin adding that starting center Marquise Pouncey might return with him for week 14.
Yeah, I'm liking that. Unfortunately, Benny Snell owners who were hoping to ride the train for a third straight week, not going to happen. And against a Buffalo team who I really haven't felt confident about lately. So I am full sending James Conner. And if you have him in the playoffs, feel comfortable throwing him in there. He will at least get a touchdown. and he'll be fine.
You mentioned Buffalo, so let's go to that Bills game. And Alex, let me ask you, you saw Josh Allen look like one of the top five QBs in the NFL on Monday night against San Francisco. How confident are you that he can continue this going into the fantasy playoffs?
Is Richard Sherman going to be on the opposite end of the field when Josh Allen plays him? Because if Josh Allen gets to throw over the top, I can definitely see that type of success again for him. I know Buffalo. I know Sean McDermott. This team is going to want to run the football before they get into the playoffs. Uh-oh, it's your truther, Zach Moss guy here. Am I just advocating for Zach Moss to go off? Maybe. But in the meantime, Josh Allen will give you that fantasy production on the ground and as a top five quarterback heading into the playoffs.
Gotta love how our own storylines travel with us. You do love you some Zach Moss.
Brandon, it's time.
Ayuk, yeah, Brandon Ayuk is an interesting test in fantasy football because on the surface you go, he's not Debo Samuel, but then you continue to look at the numbers and he has been an absolute stud over the last couple of weeks, John.
33 targets, 13 catches, 261 yards, and 3 TDs. George Kittle, very optimistic about returning this year. Until he is back in that lineup for the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, I believe, is a must start. He's getting it done. And with that 49ers offense, there's not a lot to talk about besides Debo Samuel and now Brandon Ayuk.
All right, let's go over to Tuesday. And I know at the top of this, I did joke about I needed 2.8 more points from Lamar Jackson. But depending on your league scoring, he had over 26 points last night from a fantasy standpoint. And let's just call a spade, Lamar looked like Lamar again.
He did leave points on the field for you, though, Keith. We know that to be the truth.
But if you get 26 points out of Lamar Jackson going into the like going forward, the next 3 weeks, if you have Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback and he's getting you 25 or more points per week, you are now going, okay, I've got Lamar again, and this is the guy that I probably spent some draft capital on.
But are we going to trust that we can get this consistently? Yeah, the matchups look nice. I mean, he did get 17 points in the first half. That was more than he scored in his last game. So I feel a little confident, but I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have to see it multiple weeks just because Lamar hasn't really been too consistent. So I need to see more.
The production for Lamar Jackson comes as the Ravens RB1. Let's talk about the backfield, which is definitely something. Mark Ingram returning off the COVID list to join that backfield with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And along with Lamar Jackson, who led the Ravens with 13 carries, we saw a snap share of less than 40% for all three running backs. J.K. Dobbins led the Ravens 38% of the snaps, 11 carries for 71 yards, and a garbage time touchdown, which kept Keith out of the playoffs. So that being said, considering we have four running backs plus Lamar Jackson that gets some play for the Ravens backfield, how do we pick this group apart and how do we pick who's in our lineup and who's on our bench?
This is a Dobbins situation. J.K. Dobbins is the lead dog. Gus Edwards is the one. If you're in a bind, you throw him in a lineup. I don't touch Mark Ingram. I don't touch Justice Hill at all. It's those top two guys, Dobbins, and only if I'm bind, Gus Edwards. Last thing to throw out there, too, about this Baltimore offense before we move on is that the hope is that Mark Andrews is back. Cleveland is a bottom five team against tight ends from a fantasy standpoint. That would also lend towards Lamar looking more like Lamar.
So with this running game picking up, Mandrew's about to come back. I know he had a touchdown on Tuesday, but are we just giving up on Marquise Brown now?
I think that we gave up on Hollywood Brown a while ago. I mean, he's talented, but he's not that fantasy relevant. Speaking of fantasy relevant, it drives us right over to our headlines. The Wentz wagon has been sidelined. Jalen Hurts is taking over in Philly, and his first matchup, guys, against Taysom Hill and the Saints.
What is it with these goofy running quarterback matchups? First, we have the incredible Kendall Hinton facing off against Taysom Hill, and now we got to do this with Jalen Hurts all over again. I don't want to put any disrespect on Jalen Hurts' name. Not going to mention him in the same sentence as Kendall Hinton from here on out. But that being said, I'm not starting Jalen Hurts and all the Eagles weapons that I could have had in my lineup. Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, maybe the only startable guys through week 13. Those guys are headed straight to my bench with Jalen Hurts starting.
Really fast, I'm going to throw this out from a DFS standpoint. I am very intrigued by the price point of Jalen Hurts. You can almost punt on your quarterback and have Hurts, hope that he's a Taysom Hill type of week, and then spend up on other ones. But we could talk about that later in the week.
Keith, I love upside. I love, you know, a basement bargain type price when it comes to week 14. But let's say I'm someone who invested in Miles Sanders. We have a lot of listeners who have, and truth be told, I did invest in Miles Sanders. He played just 56% of the snaps, which is the lowest mark this season, as long as he's been healthy. So I'm talking about your first, second round pick from back in September. Yeah, remember when we did that, everyone? Miles Sanders is going to be in my bench for the fantasy playoffs, and I think you need to do the same.
I'm with you as well. So Taysom Hill, some other headlines, is the top scoring quarterback over the last 3 weeks. Drew Brees going to be out at least one more week. Tyreek Hill became the first wide receiver ever to not know that he actually caught a football. And Darren Waller is the best tight end not named Travis Kelce. A few headlines for you.
Darren Waller is wide receiver one over there in Vegas, and he was a guy I was very high on going into the year, and he's proving it why. 24 targets in the last two games, and I don't think I need to say anything else, but the dude had 200 receiving yards and two touchdowns this past week, and he's right in there as a tight end number one this year. And if you're in keeper leagues, keep that man.
Now, another top running back that was heavily invested in outside of Miles Sanders is Alvin Kamara. And I have to feel optimistic based on what we saw from Taysom Hill against the Atlanta Falcons. Or Taysom Hill, it took him 3 weeks, but finally found himself passing the football. 23 first downs for the New Orleans Saints, 13 of them completed on passing plays. So if the Saints are trending towards more of a passing offense again, that means Alvin Kamara is going to find his work out of the backfield. So I'm hoping that Taysom Hill improves upon his top scoring as a runner by adding some passing element to his offense.
Gentlemen, each and every year, we look for someone that could be your running back league winner. You know, someone who maybe you didn't draft and you picked up on waivers, like a David Johnson 3 years ago, like a Nick Chubb 2 years ago, that comes up big for you at the end of the season. Many people are headed right now into their playoffs and looking for that league winner. It could be David Montgomery. Throw that name out. I nailed that one, leading fantasy running back in week 13, but he's not going to be the name we go with right now. Alex, you're up first. Who could potentially be a league winner for you?
Well, it's addition by subtraction, right? If we don't see Antonio Gibson, you mentioned Peyton Barber, but short of, you know, those carries from the 2 yard line where he just bulldozes his way in, I have to think JD McKissick is the back to own in this Washington offense. He's received at least 6 targets in 6 games this year and at least 10 in 3 of those. San Francisco's given up at least 5 catches to opposing running backs in 4 games this year. So this is a good spot for JD McKissick to take over the passing work. And he could be a league winner for you at least week 14, so long as we don't see Antonio Gibson for your PPR leagues.
All right, so I'm going to go to my new LA crush, Cameron Akers. First of all, I'm going to applaud you again if you sat and waited. He had a career-high 21 carries, 72 yards, and a TD. He is starting to get the work. Darrell Henderson has been struggling since his injury, but there's one thing, if you are in the playoffs, you have to keep an eye out for. He did show up on the injury report this week, and the Rams do play Thursday night. And Sean McVay does not like to throw guys in there in the fire when they have a three-headed backfield. So if Cam Akers is still questionable going into that game, may have to sit him. I don't know. But Cam Akers going forward, a healthy Cam Akers, I love him. And what else can we say? He's going to take over and win you the game.
I'm just going to throw one more. I mean, I could have thrown David Montgomery, like I said, but I'm going to throw another name out that I think is just so obvious that we don't want to discuss it. Christian McCaffrey is supposed to be back this week. Dude has played 3 total games this season, 28.5, 24.8, 37.1, depending on your league scoring, is what he has scored this year. He's got Denver, Green Bay, and Washington in the next 3 weeks. If you are now in the playoffs and you just have Christian McCaffrey come from your bench into your starting lineup, you're substituting probably someone who was scoring like 10 points per week for you to someone that's going to score between 20 and 35 points for you. You may win your league because Christian McCaffrey comes back for your playoffs. Wow.
it's hard to disagree with you. And if we can circle back 2020, I'm thankful for Mike Davis.
There you go. Hey, three quick headlines for you that are on the bad end. Derrick Henry got shut down and obviously cost some people some playoff spots. Me, 15 carries, 60 yards this past week, just 5.9 points. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he was active, didn't play. People didn't know that. Some people put him in their lineups. And then Russell Wilson has regressed to the mean. The last 4 weeks, 12, 20, 14, and 16 points in leagues. Which one of those three is surprising you the most that they regressed this week and even over the last couple of weeks?
Russell Wilson, you got to take your apron off and your oven mitts too. It looks like one glove going on the hand of Chris Carson and the other on Carlos Hyde. The Seahawks look like they want to be a balanced offense. They want to run the football when they get to the postseason. This is the identity we've known them to be. And letting Russ cook, that might have only been a 6 to 8 week affair with the Seahawks trending towards running the football for your fantasy playoffs.
You can thank Jalen Ramsey for that. So my most surprise, I'm mostly surprised by Jonathan Taylor. Finally, I believe he's going to take over that starting role after he rushed for 90 yards against Green Bay. Then he had to miss the game with COVID. Maybe Frank Wright was just going to keep rolling Nyheim Hines. He did, but Jonathan Taylor, 91 rushing yards, three catches, 44 yards, and I think it's safe to say he's going to get his share again, and with the matchup against Vegas, Houston, these next 2 weeks, I think he's a must-start.
Call him Jonathan Taylor Thomas because this guy just can't wait to be king.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
Wow. All right, my stat of the week leads me to Corey Davis, who is very quietly having, and I don't use this often, a great season. Since week 7, he's the wide receiver 7 in fantasy. And if you look at what he has coming up for the Titans, Jaguars, Lions, Packers, and Texans, if you go into week 17. So my stat of the week is all centered on Corey Davis. Give you a quick update on some injuries. Kenny Galladay did not practice. DeAndre Swift, he was back for the Lions. Chris Godwin was held out. Panthers, crazy amounts of COVID issues, including Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. Denzel Mims went home for a family emergency. Now we don't know if he'll be back because of the COVID protocols. And Daniel Jones trending towards playing this week.
I got two I'm going to keep an eye on here. Chris Godwin being held out of practice. If you were one of those teams that was just sweating that he was on a bye in week 13, and now you may not have him for the first round of the playoffs, I'm a little worried there. And Denzel Mims missing, obviously due to a family emergency, but this makes Jamison Crowder look more fancy and nice again because they're facing Seattle, horrible secondary, and that connection with Sam Darnold is there, and we saw it last week against the Raiders, and if Denzel Mims can't play, I think Jamison Crowder sneaks in as an easy flex play.
Jamison Crowder would immediately go in my starting lineup where I would bet a placeholder on Kenny Galladay for what it seems like the last 2 months, but I do like the fact that we'll see DeAndre Swift in practice this week and trending towards playing on Sunday. That's a piece of their offense that they're surely missing. He becomes the focal point of that offense. I do have to admit that the Lions went back to Marvin Jones and uncorked a deep ball for him. I had mentioned that he was near a 100th in the NFL in terms of air yardage, but it looks like knowing that Kenny Galladay won't practice this week, they may open that offense up for DeAndre Swift and Marvin Jones, who I might actually put back in my lineup, who should have been there last week.
Waiver wire time, and there are some wide receivers that are under 50% rostered that they might be a difference maker for you. T.Y. Hilton set at around 46%, Kiki QT at 27%, Tim Patrick at 21%, he's a touchdown maker, and then Jalen Reagor at 22%.
Kiki, I do love you, and if no one else loved you last week and didn't pick you up, I hope they do this week and finally have faith in you. 9 targets, 8 receptions, 141 yards. And he had two nice big yard catches. So I expect him, Deshaun Watson, to continue. Besides Brandon Cooks, remember, there's already that connection with Watson and QT. He's already been there. So now that it's actually in a game, expect that to keep shining.
I don't understand what happened to Michael Pittman that would lead us to believe that T.Y. Hilton is the wide receiver to own in Indy. Tim Patrick, I would start over Jerry Jeudy, considering the work he gets in the red area. And as I said before, with Jalen Reagor, Peyton Barber, these guys are just too far down the pecking order for me to pick them up. Although I understand if you were relying on Antonio Gibson, you can plug and play Peyton Barber because he's less likely to be rostered, just 1% compared to J.D. McKissic.
Yeah, the running back market is bleak for you on your waiver wire. The quarterback one is interesting. I'm throwing the word interesting out, and hear me out. Mitchell Trubisky, 13% rostered. Baker Mayfield, 38%, and Jalen Hurts at 4%. Now, we already talked about Hurts a little bit. Numbers weren't anything staggering, but you wonder if he can have a Taysom Hill type of effect on the Eagles. Trubisky is the name that really, really intrigues me. Volume. He has thrown the ball 80 times over the last 2 weeks and has 4 touchdowns and 509 yards. If you are in a super flex and having problems with your second quarterback spot, this could come back and bite me. I'm throwing it out there. Mitchell Trubisky is playable, not just rosterable. He's playable over the next couple of weeks.
I'll give you one reason not to do that.
Go ahead.
It's the Chicago Bears. And who knows what Mitchell Trubisky we're going to get that week, and who knows how long he'll even be starting until our boy BDN Nick Foles comes in and overtakes it. We've seen it all year. It's just been horrible quarterback play, and
I know,
can't
but
trust it. I
look
just
at the
trust
matchup:
it.
Houston, Minnesota, Jacksonville. Again, I'm not saying in a single quarterback league. No. But in a super flex. And if you're having problems, I feel like he could be your second guy.
I feel like we're spending too much time on just a tiny hoop for us to jump through and actually put Trubisky in the starting lineups. And I love how you had omitted the 4 turnovers on top of the 4 touchdowns he's had in the last 2 weeks. So, sure, if you want to have a cardiac arrest for your fantasy playoffs, the Mitchell Trubisky probably should be in your fantasy lineup.
4 times 6 is 24 and 4 times 4 is 16, depending on your league settings. 4 times 2 is only 8. I'll take my touchdowns over your turnovers. What other name for you? Anthony Firkser. Listen, if you're in tight end purgatory right now, 9% rostered last week at 7 targets. We have no idea what the prognosis is on Jonnu Smith right now. And again, not a bad schedule coming forward. Jaguars, Lions, and the Packers. All right, gentlemen, that's your waiver wire. We have a quick turnaround. Rams and Patriots. That's the battle of John versus Alex Hardy. Your two namesake squads, your two hometown heroes. You guys are both heroes in my book.
I'm just scared because the Patriots have to stay out here in L.A. due to playing the Chargers. And I remember last time when the Patriots and Rams, I think, played in the Super Bowl, like there was a cheating scandal. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Clarify, John. I understand you can say cheating scandal and it sticks to them like flypaper. Do you even remember what happened? Exactly. So
there's cameras in there. There's cheating. And I will not stand for it.
There's heavier balls and lighter balls.
Yeah. If Deflategate 2020 comes back, I'm going to be scared. I am running to SoFi Stadium. Alex Hardy, I will pick you up on the way and I will carry you on my shoulders. And we will go over to SoFi and we will inspect ourselves. And we will have some pizza while we're there. And go Rams.
You know what, John? I appreciate the sentiment, but you know we'll be tied up this week. Why don't we have Keith take care of that, because he doesn't have a fantasy playoff matchup to worry about. So we can focus on us. Keith has nothing but free time this week, and he can get to the bottom of this for this one.
Winners only.
I have other leagues to pay attention to. Anyway, you jerks, download the Fantasy Football Podcast. We are available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcast. Yes. John is gearing up for our league playoffs. Alex is taking a week off because he's got a bye, and I'm going to become a cheerleader, either rooting or rooting against these two knuckleheads. I am Keith. That's Alex. That's John. Later.
15, John.